It is scary, but I thought to myself, you know what? F*** it. I'm gonna do it anyway.
Do it anyway. Do it anyway.
This is Pulling Up Facing Fears. What's going on? I'm Danica. Welcome to Pulling Up Facing Fears. We are here, season 2, episode 7. Please help me welcome my next guest. I've known you for a really long time.
It's been some time.
It's been a really long time, but I'm really excited to have you here today just to talk about all of your creative growth over the years that I've known you. You are a designer, the co-owner of the streetwear apparel brand Mercy, and also a musical artist, and you go by DeLon O'Shea. I know you by D-Lo, but everyone help me welcome DeLon Frazier. What's going on?
Thank you. Thank you. Pleasure being here.
Glad to have you here. Glad to have you here. Like I said, your creative growth over the years has just really been incredible to really watch you just get in your bag and do the things that you want to do. I think it's great. And just to have you here and be able to go over your story, just how you got started, I think it's really exciting, and I think more people should hear about it. So welcome. Sure.
Thank you. Thank you.
Why don't we start with clothing? Let's talk about some clothing. When did you first discover your passion for design and for fashion?
It dates back from childhood for sure.
Really?
Yeah, I was always into like art, drawing, kind of just figuratively piecing together, you know, my own art pieces and even clothing, like with my outfits. I mean, my mom to this day reminds me about how I would have like 7 outfits laid out across my bed before the next day of school. Not even it being the first day of school, like just in general, like every day.
This is Monday, Tuesday, right. Wednesday. No, that's dope.
I was getting on it.
See, I know you like as an athlete. You used to play ball for my dad, who coached like an AAU team and everything. So that's kind of how we got our intro. So to be able to see that you have these creative outlets that I didn't even know about until like, you know, later on, right. I think that's really amazing. How would you describe your personal style?
My personal style is, I would say it's streetwear, it's grunge. I like rips. I don't like symmetry. I like stuff to just be kind of all over the place, which is kind of how I am, I think, you know.
Yeah.
Like, looking at it now, I think that's kind of how I am internally. My mind is always all over the place.
So
I think I kind of, you know, express that through the way I dress. I always wear black. Like, I'm always wearing black.
Black's your favorite color?
I would say so, yeah. Yeah. No doubt.
That's cool. I wear a lot of black, too.
Yeah.
I mean, it just goes with everything.
It's easy.
And you can dress it up, dress it down, whatever you want to do. That's dope. But yeah, I dig the rips and kind of like the loungy, not too clean cut. But I think in this day and age, the clean cut thing sometimes for certain events or whatever is like over the top.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
Like where fashion and style has come to, a lot of people tend to kind of like make it their own. You see a lot more casual, a lot more, like you said, the rips and the grunge and all of that. So that's really dope.
Hell yeah.
Did you go to school for design at all?
I did not. No. I actually went to school for business marketing.
Really?
Yeah.
That's dope.
I got my degree in business marketing from Concordia University in Irvine.
Very nice.
Yeah, where I played basketball and did my thing out there, but never studied it. I kind of just, you know, took it under my own wing to just do it myself and just, you know, browse and try to get an understanding for it.
Do you think your background in business marketing has like really helped with the growth of branding Mercy?
I wouldn't say so.
No,
I feel like school, I mean, I'll never, you know, veer anybody away from going to school, but it's just like the way that they teach business marketing or the way that I was taught it was more like a Fortune 500 level, like B2B type.
Really?
Business. Yeah. So it's like more big business, more corporate level type, rather than like Instagram, Twitter, like the way society's going, like
with the whole digital wave.
Exactly.
Yeah, totally. I have been digging so much into digital marketing lately because it's everywhere. Like you literally can't open up your phone without something,
right?
Whether it's a notification from one of your favorite apps like Nike or whatever. It's like they're really on it about it and just having it pop up on you. But that makes sense. That makes a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. So when it comes to fashion, do you have any style icons?
I would say Kanye for sure. Definitely like spearheaded that for me. No
for sure.
doubt. 110%.
Kanye is really making waves as far as fashion goes. He's not afraid. Man, those boots, bro.
Hey, now that's the next thing. I get made fun of all the time by my friends. I wear boots often. Like, it's just my go-to. And that's hilarious. But yeah, Kanye was like the one to just like let me feel okay with, you know, me being me and dressing how I wanted to dress and do my own thing.
I would even say his sense of style has really evolved too since like, you know, the backpack Kanye days and Louis Vuitton Don days and all of that. You know, he's kind of made it cool for you to not have to seek out labels and stuff, even though he has his own. And like Yeezy is such a big thing. You don't see it plastered across like his pieces or anything like that. It's really like you take it and you make it your own.
Exactly.
And whatever comes of it, that's dope. Mm-hmm. So Kanye West. Definitely. Okay. That's awesome. As I mentioned before, you are the co-founder of Mercy Clothing, a streetwear brand, and you started that with one of your really close friends.
Yeah, my actually longest friend, Jackson Kohara.
What's up, Jackson?
What's up, Jax? We've been boys since, I think I met him in first grade. I think we're like 7 years old when we first met. And I used to stay with my great grandparents, and he lived directly behind them. Mm-hmm. So our backyards were attached. It
no
was just
way.
A fence that separated us. So
you guys went to school together and everything?
Went to school together all the way through until I moved to the, I moved around a lot, but when I moved back to the South Side in, I think, fifth grade, that's when we stopped going to school together.
Oh, man.
And then we met back up in high school. So,
there you go.
Yeah, junior high was like the only time we didn't go to school.
You're like, my friend.
Right, welcome back.
No, I love it. I love it. So what has it been like being able to go into business with one of your best friends?
Oh, it's beautiful. It's the coolest thing about it is like everything is just like it's flush. It's natural. There's like minimal like time wasted on decision making, I could say.
Yeah.
It's more so just like, I don't want to say we have the same mind because we don't, but we're so like, we trust each other to the extent of like, whatever I'm saying, like, you know, I know he's understanding where I'm coming from and vice versa. And
he knows the way that you think in a sense where it's like, he's not just throwing shit out there.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. Or even if it is an idea that he's not really comprehending, I'm like, all right, bro, when I get the sample made, I'm going to show you. Cool. I'll show him. He's like, what? Like when we made these dice necklaces, like the way I was explaining it didn't really work, I guess. And then when I showed him the pieces, he was like, bro, this is crazy. Like, that's
kudos, really good cool.
Shit. Yeah.
Awesome. Awesome. So who approached who with the idea of wanting to start a clothing brand?
I would say we were in, I think we actually made our first brand in like sixth grade, I think.
Really?
Yeah.
So Mercy isn't the first?
It's not. We actually had a brand called Dead Diamond.
Really? Dead Diamond?
Dead Diamond. It was like a skull arm with like a diamond in the hand.
Okay,
we like
that makes it make sense because I'm trying to picture it. I'm like, Dead Diamond is the, what does that even look like? But okay,
man,
that makes sense.
And that's like what started it. And then once we kind of like started to, you know, grow up and like, you know, understand like, get an understanding for like fashion and art and in our own ways. I would say Jackson did more so because he was the one that came up with the name of it and
or
like the idea of everything. And we were actually sitting down together when we came up with the name for it. We were Googling. I don't even know what the exact thing was, but we were like Googling names for like brands. I don't know what the heck.
Yeah, somehow, it's like name simulator.
Yeah, we were like on the topic of thank you, and somehow, you know, we just are. Like, thank you in different languages, and mercy popped up, and it's really merci, and it's French for thank you. So
yeah,
that's how it was birthed.
Very cool, very cool. So from Dead Diamond to Mercy, you would say Dead Diamond was more of like a t-shirt brand type of situation. 100%.
We were like spray painting like stuff on stuff and using like stencils. And
no, that's really cool though. That's awesome, because to see where one idea can lead you to. I mean, not to say that Dead Diamond wasn't taken seriously, but that was like your experimental phase.
Right.
You know, and that just helped you guys get a feel of collaborating with each other on a project and everything. And look what it's grown into. Mm-hmm. That's awesome. So in the beginning, did you have any idea of how easy or how difficult it would be to launch a brand and build it up?
Not at all. I never tried to like read the end of the story before, you know, the beginning of it. You know what I mean?
We'll cross that road when we get there.
Yeah, yeah. So we had this idea and we're just like, man, let's do it. And I'm going into it with like my best friend. Like I said, we trust each other. So it wasn't much to be afraid of, because I'm going into it with somebody that I'm so close and so tight with. I was like, well, you know, if we fail, well, we're going to figure it out. You know, we just got to figure out a way to make it work.
The worst thing that could possibly happen is that I collaborated on something with my best friend.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. And it was no fear. And it never really is. It's fear does you no good. You know, all it does is just, you know, keep you from getting to the next spot. So
did you ever have moments where, clearly you say like fear is not a factor, but did you ever have moments where you're just like, maybe we shouldn't? Like,
oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, definitely. You run into those bumpy roads and those hiccups for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And that crosses my mind to this day. You know what I mean? I'm still that wrestle with that in my mind, but it's just a matter of, you know, sticking to it. It's like, man, like when I take a step back and really like look at it from a perspective of not being in the field, but like taking a step back and looking at what's been created over the span of what, 6-7 years, it's like, there's no way that we could take our foot off the gas, man. Like it's
totally
been so much built up within such a short amount of time. Like,
absolutely.
You know, we got to keep rocking.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
What would you say has been like the most difficult part about building up Mercy?
I would say the most difficult aspect of building it is like the timing and like finding the manufacturers first. That was like the toughest, because you need them to bring your ideas to life. You know, you could have, you know, all these ideas mapped out and ready to go, but if you don't have the right hands, you know, working on it and, you know, breathing life into it, it's not going to come out the way you want it to come out.
Yeah. And, you know, not all manufacturers are created equal.
Mm-hmm.
Quality of work isn't always there. So
not at all.
I don't think people know about like getting samples, like how you were talking about earlier with the dice necklace, and, you know, you get it and you're like, man, I mean, it's okay.
Telling you, that sample phase are like, that's one of the most difficult aspects too.
I bet that probably can make or break a lot of ideas for people you know, you get the one and you're just like,
this ain't it.
This is ass.
Right. Yeah. I mean, for sure. Yeah. That's for sure. Like a pinnacle that'll like shows if you're like kind of built for it or not. Cause if you drop out on the simple fact of like a project coming back to you, that's not the way that you wanted it to be. It's like, come on, man. Like that's not, that's the least of your worries, or it at least should be.
Yeah. You know? And we were kind of touching on that before we started, how I was talking about the break with the podcast and everything. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, I wasn't sure if I wanted to come back or not.
Right,
but
right.
At the same time, it's like, you got to look at what could happen on the positive side of things,
right.
You know, and if you got to make a tweak here and there, then that's just what you have to do to get the job done. So how did you push through the difficult times, like manufacturing and timing of things? When you say timing, do you mean like dropping collections and stuff like that?
I would say, yeah, that's included. I would just say in general, though, because you also have to take into consideration that you're not the only person that these people are doing jobs for.
Yeah.
And that's what like bites. That's what like kind of like kills it, because it's like, well, not kills it, but like you just it kind of just puts a damper on things, because like you're expecting, you know, this to get done like. When you order a package, you're like, you check the tracking as soon as you place the order. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you're waiting by the window.
Exactly.
Like, where's it at?
It's like the same thing. So it's like the minute that you get the stuff and you're like expecting like, all right, turnaround time of like 2 weeks. But it's like they're now, you know, working on it and, you know, they're running into hiccups. Their machines are breaking down or they accidentally, the hat was a little offset. So this is crooked. And then it's like, oh, can you drop off a couple more hats? I messed up these three here. You know what I mean? It's like a crazy process. And that's stuff that doesn't really get seen. You know, people are just like, I ordered this and I want it now. And they don't understand like the
get it from the Mercy Factory, walk back there and get my product. Right, and you're like,
yeah, right.
It don't work like that. And especially if you have a manufacturer that's really good or in high demand, then you got to expect for there to be hiccups because nothing's perfect.
Exactly.
Nothing is perfect. Well, congratulations on all the success with Mercy, and we'll touch more on it in a little bit, but I do want to talk about becoming DeLon O'Shea and stepping into creating music. So when it comes to music, is that something that you've been passionate about for a long time or interested in as well?
Definitely. That's another thing that's like, those are the two things I was most interested in as a child. Like music and clothing. Like I just felt music different. Like, and there's so much music that I like on top of like what I was shown. Like my mom, you know, grew up listening to like E-40 and like NWA, Ice Cube, you know what I mean? Too Short, all of them, you know, and that's all I knew for music. And then once I kind of started to like find different,
branch out
and, you know, listen to different stuff, it just opened up a world for me. And I was like, wow, I really love this stuff.
I think about Kanye West again when I think of music, because I come from a similar background, a lot of like West Coast hip hop, a lot of stuff from the Bay Area and all of that. My mom, on the other hand, she was like a lot of Prince, a lot of Bob Marley and stuff. So I've always had that in the oldies. But when it comes to Kanye West, I remember, and I think you probably remember too, you know, he had College Dropout, he had late registration, he had graduation. Then he kind of started to like veer off and really start doing some abstract shit with his music, with 808 and Heartbreaks, one of my favorites, with Dark Fantasy, one of my favorites, crazy. Like legendary album, right? But I remember people who were, or said that they were, really big Kanye West fans, but when he kind of transitioned his music and started creating from the heart, they're like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah, like, I miss the old Kanye.
The boy is tripping, this and that. But, you know, he has such a crazy musical background. Like, why wouldn't he step out and and try new things and stuff? And he only became as big of an influence of our generation by doing that. Imagine if he would have stayed on track.
Stayed in that lane and just, he wouldn't have maximized. And look at what he's doing right now. Like, he's like, he's opening doors for so many people. Like, he's inspiring so many people. And it's like, that's what being a human is about. It's about growing and
evolving.
You have to continue to evolve and learn. You know what I mean?
Pull from here, pull from there. And inspiration, it can come from anything. And you shouldn't keep yourself in a box.
Never.
You know, or just say, this is, I'm from Chicago, you know,
and
Kanye,
it.
And this is what I'm doing. But it's like, no, he always has that in him. Mm-hmm. But like, what could we expand to?
Exactly.
That's dope.
I love that about him.
That's dope. Who are some of your favorite artists and musical influences?
Again, Kanye, of course.
Kanye West.
First and foremost. But also outside of that, another artist that I listen to heavily is Sean Leon. And it's,
really?
And it's funny. He's a Canadian artist. And,
okay.
Underground. Not, I don't want to say underground, but he's not signed. He's kind of just doing his own thing.
Mm-hmm.
And oddly enough, I've been listening to him since like 2016, 2017.
Wow.
He's now just got like Grammy nominated for writing Peaches.
He got
nominations for writing on Jesus is King. He's now working with Kanye.
Okay.
So how crazy is that? You know, these are two totally different people, two totally different like genres of music, I guess you could say. And then they end up coming together and they're happen to be two of my favorite artists.
Doesn't that tell a lot about like perseverance and staying true to things and how you can say someone could be underground? I don't know if that was by choice by Sean Leon or not, but it's like there's people and they're listening and they're looking for new sounds all the time.
Right.
So you never know when your lane is what someone is looking for.
Exactly.
And after all this time, it's been a 5 years, going on 6 years for him. And now he's getting the recognition and the nominations and all of that.
It's dope.
How would you describe your music, and would you put yourself in any sort of genre?
Definitely. I mean, rap, that's kind of how it started. That's what I'm super interested in. That's kind of just how my mind works. It just works in like a poetic
in
format.
Bars.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Just like rhyming and piecing things together to make it make sense.
Right.
But that's like, you know, with those two artists kind of being my, that's the same direction that I'm trying to go. Like, I want to go into a realm where it's not just like rap bars or whatever the case may be, you know, same 808s and snares and hi-hats on a regular beat. Like, you know, even with the stuff that I have put out, like there's always some type of twist to it. Like, I'll either slow the beat down and like do like a two-part track or like, I wanted to introduce that I can and do make music before I get into like everything else that I want to get into. But I listen to even everything from like, you know, I listen to Metallica, I listen to Misfits, I listen to the Growlers, I listen to Chola Orange. I listen to so like such a wide array of music that I get so inspired by all that. And that's where, you know, I eventually want to start dabbling into and making my stuff sound like.
Do you think, you know, you think of artists, and right now I'll just use like NBA Youngboy as as an example, because he's getting like some heat now because he's like, I like to wear makeup because I like to feel like a rock star. But he's not the first to be on that wave. Like we had Wayne that was on that wave and a couple of other like rappers. Young Thug was on that wave. Like I'm a rock star type thing. Do you think that they get bored with what they're doing, and maybe that's something that they've always had in them, but you know, you get to a certain level of status where it's just like, fuck it, bro. Like anything that I do, I'm gonna have supporters. So why not like kind of veer off into that?
Right. I would say, I mean, in my opinion, I think it is just a little bit of what they want to do. It could also be, I mean, they're also signed to like the biggest labels that we know. So, you know, it could just be something that the labels, you know, making them do.
Yeah.
But, you know, who knows? But for people like Young Thug, and I kind of feel like that's just a part of them, you know?
Yeah.
I would hope so, because that's cool. It's like, express yourself, do your thing, you know?
Absolutely.
Like, you don't got to stay on this, like you were talking about earlier, you're staying in this lane and just like not maximizing, you know? That could, tapping into that like side of themselves can open up a whole another lane or door of music for them to help them, you know, catapult to the next level.
And you got to think, once you're signed to these huge labels, like the resources are at your fingertips.
Yeah.
From samples to if you want a live band, if you want whatever, some of the things that you probably didn't have back home when you were just creating at home and on your own, it's like now you have that.
Right.
So your wildest dreams can come to life if you want to.
Yeah.
So I think that's super dope.
Definitely.
When you write your lyrics, where do you like to pull inspiration from?
Life. Personal experiences. Not so much of just like, I don't try to delve into like my history and, you know, make music through like, you know, the struggle and, you know what I mean? That's just not me personally. It's more so like listening to a beat or finding some sounds that I really like feel.
Yeah.
And, you know, sit in the studio with my producers and then just, you know, build around that. And then whatever comes from that is kind of the way I go. I just try not to like, when I'm in that creative zone, I try not to listen to too many people or like music-wise, just so I can kind of just like formulate my own sound, my own
That's really
ideas
good.
And yeah.
I like hearing that because you do see a lot of, I don't want to say mimics or anything like that, but there becomes a certain sound that becomes popular.
Right.
I think right now, like the island sound and the African sound right now is really popular.
Definitely.
And it's like you've got the pop artists and they're like, okay, I got to make a song like this so that I can get on the radio or something like that. For you to just want to just create what you want to create, shut everything else off and just kind of like get in your zone.
Right.
Super dope.
Yeah,
that's cool.
Yeah. Thank you.
You're welcome. So have you always been like open about your musical passion and wanting to do music, or was it more of like a hidden talent that you kept to yourself before you started recording, or were you like the type that liked to freestyle like with the homies in the car and stuff like that, or what was it like for you before you decided to start recording?
Literally freestyling.
Yeah.
Freestyling to stuff like in the car with the homies or at the house with or at the dorm with my roommates, like every kind of like level of my life from like childhood to where I'm at now. Freestyling is what got people to be like, damn, like okay, like you can actually like rap.
That's
like, you know what I mean? That kind of got people's ears on me. So well, like at least my friends. So it's like, and then when your friends kind of hype you up, it's like, okay, you're my boy. Like you kind of supposed to do that. Like, I appreciate you, But like once you kind of put it out and you let like, you know, streams and like reposts and stuff kind of do the talking for you and people are reaching out to you that you've never met, that's kind of like where it lets you know, like, okay, you're doing something right. But that's definitely what kind of like where it started, was just like freestyling around like all these different groups of people that I've never even known or like are new to my life or old friends too, I kind of got the same reaction out of it. And
yeah,
even my mom, my grandma, my aunt, like all of them, like, of course they're going to support you too, but they're absolutely. Like, no, I'm serious. Like, you actually like know what you're doing. I hope you like never stop. They're even telling me like, man, I say you do music over your clothing.
Really?
Like, yeah. So it's cool to get that type of feedback. You know what I mean? It kind of just, it's not so much about like me trying to blow up or get to where I want or make a bunch of money. Like I really like to create stuff. Like that's where my mind's at. I just want to be able to get all these ideas out before, you know, my time comes, you know, cause that's where I'll feel like at rest. I'll feel cool if I'm able to keep pumping out work, you know, if the money comes, it comes. If it don't, at least I'm able to still be able to make shit, make stuff, you know?
So the creativity is the release. That's the reward to you.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. For sure. The final product, like, when my engineer has like, you know, he sends me, oh, yo, I just finished your, finished the last edit, blah, blah, blah. Here it goes. I'm emailed to you. Like, that's when I'm just like, oh my God, I feel like I'm on cloud nine at that point.
Really?
You could just listen and just hear every bit and detail and echo and that you sat in the studio for hours on end to create.
Sure.
It's like, it's such a rewarding feeling.
And I don't think people realize how much of a process it is to create music as well, just from start to finish, from finding the beat. Oh, and I was gonna ask, do you produce music at all, like instrumentals?
Personally, I don't get behind the keyboard and make it, but I'm sitting in when my boys are making it, or like my producer will send me a beat pack and like I'll hear certain things and ask him for the stems, and then like me and Renee we'll go in, or me and Lewis will go in and like chop and take stuff out and add stuff. So
shout out to Renee and Lewis,
both of them.
Miss you guys,
man.
Where you been at?
The realest.
That's dope. That's dope. So you're there in the creative process of getting the beats together and making it sound how you said, because I heard you say earlier, like, sometimes I'll slow a beat down, you'll get on your Oliver 40 vibe, and you're like, switch the beat up and all of that. So that's really cool. When it came to like actually getting into the studio, I know you said you were getting pushed by the homies and your mom, and everything was like, you need to do this. But who was the one that like really grabbed you and was like, get in the studio, like right now, we're putting stuff together?
Renee.
Yeah.
Renee, for sure. Cause that guy, like, that's who first got me in, cause he's been doing music. That's like what he's always done. He's always made music and always did his thing. But, again, we was freestyling and stuff, and they had a group called Dorito. But it was like D-A-R-E-D-O. It was like initials.
Yeah.
And it was like 6-7 of them, whatever. And they would all make music, and I would, you know, being that, like, I was like, damn, this is dope. Like, you know, kind of being in this vibe. And I like freestyled a couple times, like, man, you got to get on a song. And Renee's just like, he sends me beats, he sends me tracks I haven't finished yet. Like, bro, you need to finish this. Like, he's constantly pushing
me
to do it. And I love that.
Yeah.
I love it. Love
That's
having somebody
really cool.
like that in my corner.
So when you released your first track to the public, what were the emotions surrounding that? Do you remember, like, all right, I'm going to put this out.
Yeah.
We'll see how it goes.
So building up to me putting out like my individual music, like music on my own, I've done like numerous tracks with Renee, or a few with Lewis too. So like the comfortability was there, because I'm on a track with, again, one of my friends, somebody I trust and I'm close with. So it's kind of easy because we're pushing it together. But when I stepped back and put out my own, like my first single, it was the Quarantine Freestyle, which I put out, I think, in last year.
You have that, the little, it's like the little clear, like, thing for
that.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, I saw that photo. That's dope.
That was the first track that I had put out. And I was just so, I put, like, I remember when I had got that beat, and I had literally a whole different version of that song. Like, I recorded that song one way and I didn't like it, and I scrapped the whole thing, and
really?
I rewrote the whole track from start to finish and liked that product way better. So, I was extremely confident with putting that one out. And then again, like, I'm not really here, like I said, I'm not here to try to like woo anybody or have like, you know, like I'm trying to get a deal or something. Like, I'm literally putting this out because this is something that I was working on and something that I'm proud of.
Yeah, this is what I did.
Exactly.
Check it out.
Mm-hmm. And awesome. That was the first piece that I put out. And I was ecstatic, and I got a bunch of great feedback.
Awesome.
Even like a publicist had reached out to me.
No way.
And a guy from Orange County, which was super cool. And that kind of just was like, it's cool. Like, when that stuff, like, is validating.
Not really like brush it off, but you're just like,
Yeah.
Slow down. Yeah. Like, yeah. We're just getting started.
Exactly.
I got so much more on the way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly.
That's good. And you're so humble about it because, I mean, I see it all the time when you do drop something, you get so many reposts and so many shares. And I think, one, it's great how much support that you have here in the area.
Definitely.
And just the relationships that you have with so many people is going to help you and push you, even though it's not what you're really worried about.
Right, right.
But sometimes it makes all the difference. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But that's amazing. And I'm glad to hear that you had a really good response on your first track
mm-hmm.
and stuff. So the point of this podcast is to, you know, talk about your journey, talk about your story, but then also say congratulations for how far you've come in blazing your own trail. And you've totally done that with both your music and with Mercy. So Mercy has brought a ton of happiness to everybody out here. People love the brand. You get so much support, like I said, from the area and everything like that. And you've given us some great music as well. How do you feel about all of the love that you get here in the area?
Oh, it's unmatched. I'm shocked at how much love that I get.
Really?
It's
you're good people though. Like,
yeah.
And I think that definitely helps. Like, people love to support, you know, the good ones.
Right, right. That's true. Yeah, I feel like you do have to be a likable person to kind of be in, like, business in this sense. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't be here. We wouldn't be where we're at right now without, you know, the love and support of here. This is where, that's, like, people want to see other people wear the product. So then that's what gets them interested and makes them want to buy the product.
Is right.
That's like their validation. Like, oh, that's, you know, my homie. Oh, I saw my homie in your hat. I want mm-hmm. that hat now. Mm-hmm. Or, oh, my cousin had this sweater. Oh, I want that sweater now. So it's like, that wouldn't happen without anybody purchasing it, you know?
Right.
So it's beautiful. I can't thank the city enough for it.
That's great.
Yeah, it's
that's
awesome.
Great. So Mercy has even been worn by some familiar celebrities,
mm-hmm.
like actor Rick Gonzalez,
yep.
athletes like Jordan Clarkson, Rashard Higgins, Kelly Oubre, and many more.
Yeah.
How does it feel to see them, you know, walking the halls, getting ready to go to a game and they're rocking your stuff if they're at practice or right. something, or wearing it, you know, for a photo shoot? How does it feel to see, like, Mercy plastered on them?
It's surreal. It's crazy. And it's so hard to put words on it, but it's just, at the end of the day, it's just a blessing.
Yeah.
Because these guys, you know, these are multi-million dollar dudes that have the power to wear and pull whatever they want. And
absolutely.
They're choosing, like, yo, I want to wear this Mercy sweater or this Mercy hat, or, you know,
for
what
sure.
I mean? So that, like, that holds weight. And it's telling me that, you know, it's not just like, I'm not just like a household, like, city brand. Like, you know, I can expand out and tap into, like, the upper division of, you know, that whole next tax bracket, because
mm-hmm.
there, you know, I was even told one of my homegirls was in Thousand Oaks or Malibu and saw Travis Barker wearing some Mercy shorts.
No way.
Yeah. And she was like, I tried to get a picture, but it just did. It was just so many people were bombarding them.
Travis
and I'm
Barker.
Tripping. That's crazy. Yeah.
They're like, hand them to Courtney, bro.
Right,
give them to her.
Get some pics in it. Send them my way.
I love it.
Yeah.
But that's huge. And like you said, to have a closet full of designer.
Right.
And for them to be like, ooh.
Exactly.
I'm going to put this one on today.
Exactly.
That's incredible, bro.
Definitely.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
Congratulations. How do you keep up with your creativity? Like, what are some ways that you like to get into your zone?
Oh, man. I need to be alone. I have to be by myself. If I'm not by myself, I can't think.
Really?
I'm just one of those people. I know that if there's one thing I know about myself is if I can't be by myself for at least, you know, a few hours or a couple of days on end, I feel stuck and like
mm-hmm.
I feel like anxious and it
really?
Like affects everything. Yeah, like
totally.
It's so weird, but I like that's why I'm thankful for my studio space. I could just pop out and just duck off the whole day or whole
mm-hmm.
2-3 days and just not have to worry about nothing and just, you know, do my thing. But I gotta be by myself, listening to some type of vibe. It's just like whatever builds up my spirit, whatever I'm feeling like at the moment. That's just where it goes. I'll just, you know, it usually starts with like a quote or like some type of verbiage that kind of gets my mind going. You know
mm-hmm.
what I mean? So I'll just like write out, you know, ideas for my next capsule's name. So like Praying With My Eyes Open, that one just like when I came up with that, it just like, boom, just opened
boom.
Up, you know, free reign for me. So
do you think when you have the idea, like, it speaks to you. You can be going through a bunch of different, you know, like you said, capsule names or names of projects or whatever. But when that one comes and it hits, you're like, that's the one.
That's it. The hard part is, like, you know, it's always like starting. Like, you know, starting is always the hard part. But once you find that one that just hits you and it just makes sense, it's like
the literally floodgates open.
Everything just makes sense. It's like everything just like coincides and connects. And, you know, and then I just start designing. And, you know, I it's funny because there's so many designs that I've scrapped that didn't even make the line of production.
Really?
It's so many pieces. Like, I usually end up with like 40 pieces and I narrow it down to like 15 or 20.
Wow.
Yeah. So there's so much shit that gets scrapped because it's like endless pairings and endless, you know, opportunities to create. Like, it's almost overwhelming is what I'm getting at. It's so many different options that you could fuse together to make like a hoodie or a hat or whatever it is that you're doing. I try to narrow it down and just keep it as like concise as possible.
So when you have an idea and it's something that you've like scrapped, do you ever look back and be like, I might be able to use this later? Or is it once it's done, on to the next?
That's kind of how I've been. Because I've learned, previously I would like try to dig back in and like recycle.
Like make it work.
Exactly. But that would keep me in that same stage two. You know what I mean? It would keep me floating around stage two and I'm trying to like level up every time. Every time I put something out, I want it to be better than the last.
Totally.
So I'll leave it. I just don't even touch it. I'll go through my phone. I'll literally delete everything. I won't even try to open it and be like, oh, I remember that. I'm like, nah, let me scrap it. Scrap.
Scrapped. It's over.
And just start fresh, clean slate, you know, because it's the ideas will come.
Yeah, absolutely. Cool. So where do you see yourself and Jackson taking Mercy? Like, what's the vision for it?
Man, the vision, we've never really discussed that per se.
Mm-hmm.
And like put a plan behind like, oh, we want to be in Barney's or that's not even a thing anymore, but we want to be in Neiman Marcus. That's definitely a goal. Like, I would for sure want to get it. Like,
if they hit you up, you're like, for sure.
You know, get some shelf space. Definitely would be down for that. But we like e-commerce. It's way easier for us to manage. It just works. You know what I mean? To have like stock levels and to have like
inventory
to have a space that you're renting out as well, like to house all that. And it's a lot. Like, we've kind of like, you know, waited out. And because there's been opportunities that we've had that were brought upon to us to get us in some storefronts and all that good stuff.
Really?
Yeah. We've had a couple. But e-commerce, it just works better. You know, it's easier on the pockets. You know what I mean? Because we started it out. There was no... there's no like investor. I mean, we had investors and nobody like fronting money to help us get it there.
Uh-huh.
Although we've had people ask us, but it's like we're just kind of trying to see what we can get done by ourselves before we start taking helping hands. You know what I mean?
Sometimes it's better to go that route because a lot of people will sell you bullshit and tell you you need this, you need that. You really don't.
And just ruin your whole brand. Mm-hmm. I've seen it happen. I've read up about it, you know, and they don't have the same vision as you. But they're funding it, so they feel like they have such a hand and a say-so in what you got going on. So I don't want to be stripped of that, because if I feel like I'm stripped of my creativity, then it's dead. Like, there's no reason for me to be there no more.
Absolutely.
So we stick into it, stick into our guns, and just we'll get it done ourselves.
That's cool. Yeah. And I only see, like, great things happening for the brand and, you know, just staying true to yourselves and what you guys know how to do. Where you guys see yourself going, that's all that matters.
Definitely.
You have the support already, so it can only build from that. Any advice that you would give a stylist or designer, even just a creative that's looking to step into the apparel space?
Trailblaze, you know?
Yeah.
Find your own path.
That's like my favorite word.
I love it too. When I like actually Googled what it means, I'm like, oh, that's super dope.
Right?
Like, I really like that word. Yeah, pioneer it. Just do you. That's the best way to do things, man. Like, 100% you. Don't wait for anybody. You know, don't wait for your only sign of movement can't come when somebody's helping you out or if somebody's patting you on the back. Because the road that's required to get there, you know what I mean? You're not gonna get none of that.
Yeah.
It's no pats on the back. It's no helping hands. You know what I mean? You gotta really just go through it and just do it yourself. But the thing is you're going to figure it out. It's like when I like to think of it like, all right, if I'm stranded at sea, you know what I mean, or whatever the case may be, am I just going to drown and give up, or am I going to try to fight to keep my head above water?
Right.
You're going to fight to keep your head above water. You're not just going to drown.
Find the supplies and build a fucking raft.
Exactly.
You're going to cast away some shit.
Exactly. And that's the best way to look at it. Like, you're going to figure it out. But so you can't be afraid of like, oh, well, like, you know, people look at, like, you know, they're at the bottom of a mountain. They're like, damn, I can never climb that. I can never get there. You know what I mean? It's like, bro, we'll just step by step, day by day. You know, if you chip away at it, you'll get there.
You'll get there. Dropping gems. Say it again. You'll get there.
You will get there.
Love it. Promise. As far as music goes, we talked about you dropping singles. We talked about you creating with their homies and everything. And you kind of touched on it, but I did want to talk about Mercy Studios and everything. Congratulations on that.
You.
That's huge, just to be able to have an area where you can freely create and do the things that you want. I'm sure a lot of creative things go down in there. What is the vibe like at Mercy Studios?
It's chill. It's not overly massive. It's just like a nice, like, compact, like, concise area. I don't like too much space because then I kind of feel like my mind has too much space, so I'm just like, oh, it's a, you know, I like stuff to kind of be like nice and compact, but it's chill. It's kind of, it's not overly decorated or anything. It's kind of like, I got some plants in there, you know, for some color. My wall is my mood board, so I just staple or thumbtack pictures all over. You know what I mean? Like, literally the walls are just like my paper. I don't really use paper much outside of like pinning it on the wall. You know what I mean? I'll draw on that stuff. But like, I'll write on my walls and, you know, to keep the ideas there. And
very cool.
Yeah, it's chill. It's a chill little spot.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Are you actively like performing or anything as far as your music goes, or is that something that you're looking to do?
At the moment, I'm not, but eventually, like, I mean, for me, I don't really care too much about like getting in front of a big old crowd and rocking, going all crazy. You know what I mean? Like, if it comes, it comes. But like, I would be more into like an intimate, like, you know, close knit, tight space, like smaller area where people are actually listening and like vibing and feeling what's going on. So
in the age of festivals and everything, and not to say that festivals are a new thing, but they're just, it's such an overly saturated space now to where things can't even just be like a regular concert or a vibe anymore. Everything has to be like jam-packed with people,
exactly,
and mosh pits and all that shit. It's kind of nice to hear somebody say that they would prefer an intimate crowd and something where, you know, like, people are going to be fans and people are going to know the lyrics and really vibe with you. That's dope.
Definitely.
That's really cool. I'm a fan.
Appreciate it.
You know, but you know, not everybody can be fans because that's just not how the world works. Mm-hmm. There's always going to be the other side of it.
Always.
How do you deal with the haters or people that just have negative shit to say in regards to the things that you're doing?
It's just water under the bridge. You know, I'm not worried about that. You know, LeBron James, the best athlete that has ever stepped foot on this face of this earth, has people that hate him, which makes zero sense. You know what I mean? So it's like, I mean, that just comes. That's, you know, part of the journey. You know what I mean? So you can't look at that. It's not going to do you no good, you know?
And it's like, if you didn't have that, then that means not very many people are paying attention, right?
Exactly. Exactly. It. So that's also another form of validation. You know what I mean? So just not, I don't look at it. I don't pay no mind to it. I don't pay no attention to people that I could post something and someone won't repost it, or none of that stuff matters to me. You know, it's like just staying fixated on your goals and, you know, tunnel vision on your project and your ideas. You know, that's all that really matters at the end
of
the day.
It streamlines you exactly to where you want to be too. That's good. Not too much praise and not too much hate.
Right.
It's just like, stick to the task.
Yeah. Even the praise, I try not to even like let that, you know, people that reach out and say, my friends or people I don't know, you know, I'll definitely respond and, you know, be cordial and be cool and humble for sure. But like, I can't say I don't care about it, but I just try not to pay attention to none of that. I just want to just
You don't want to make that bigger than the mission at hand.
Exactly it. That's the best way to put it.
I feel you. One thing that you're proud of yourself when it comes to music.
One thing that I'm proud of, I would say the fact that like I'm still doing it. Like, it hasn't been very long, but like starting back to when like I actually like wanted to make music to being where I'm at now, actually making it is like, you know, that's a huge accomplishment for me. You know what I mean? It's just dope to see that like I'm finally here. I'm finally in the position to do this. I got stuff on Apple Music and like my mom sees that and she's freaking out. My grandma, you know, my family, like, you know, it's super cool to finally like be legit with it. So I'm a, it don't take much to make me happy. You know what I mean? The little things matter most to me.
Yeah, very cool. So why don't we talk about what's next? Do like a little rapid fire to close out the episode. Are you ready for the new year?
Definitely.
For 2022?
I'm definitely ready. I kind of took this time to just like chill out. And like, I moved into a new house with a couple of my buddies in January.
Dope. Congratulations.
And, thank you. Thank you. And it was like, this is like the first time I feel like I've actually got like rest, like in a, ever in my life, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
So I kind of just took this year to just like take things slow for once and kind of really just like, I don't want to say take my foot off the gas, but kind of just like coast a little bit. Because I've never given myself that time to just like take a break or coast or relax.
Or ever. Just enjoy where you're at right now.
And being present. That's another thing that I'm like really focusing on. So it's December and like I took note of this like a long time ago. And I was like, man, I'm going to just, you know, ride it out to the end of the year. And it was like stressful because I'm so used to being somewhere, doing something, moving. And I was like, man, just relax, bro. It's cool. Like come January, you know, just start it up. So I was like, yeah, I'm going to give myself this time to just like cool out. We only put out one project with Mercy this year, but it did really well.
Yeah. You had the wallets.
Yeah, yeah. This year. All that good stuff. The wallets were dope. Thank you. The Letterman jacket that we had, and the woolen leather Letterman, a bunch of different, like, more intricate, like, hands on pieces. And, like, even finding a new studio space this year, like, you know, it was like something that I needed to create. So I was stressed out when, like, I was out of a studio for a couple months and finally got hooked up with another spot. So it was a lot of emotion this year. So I just needed to just dial it back, chill out. So come this year, you know, I have wrote, I couldn't tell you how many songs I have ready to go and how many projects that I've started with Mercy and how many ideas. Like I got all my ducks kind of lined up. So I'm
geared. So you're just ready to get to work.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any short-term goals for the brand, for Mercy? Anything new that you want to try out?
Definitely women's wear. Like that's our next. And it's crazy because women like I mean, we can look at our analytics with like our sales and everything and all of our traffic from our website. And it's women that buy Mercy the most. Like
really?
Definitely. And like I look at all that stuff just to kind of see like
absolutely
what we're dealing with. But
see
yeah, so
who you need to like kind of
exactly
gear towards
exactly.
and everything. I will say that we have come to an age where like unisex clothing is huge, where my t-shirts, I buy large t-shirts, sometimes even extra large. I just like the baggy,
oversized,
comfortable,
exactly,
like kind of feel and vibe of things. So it doesn't surprise me that a lot of women buy it too.
Yeah. But that's like, I like want to literally do a line where it's just like women's wear only.
Yeah.
And it's not like, oh, I ordered some t-shirts and I printed something in like a girly print or like or
the
feminine
easy
print.
Way out.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like I'm really like
the crop tops.
Right. Like I want to get with like my homegirls that are in the fashion industry and like literally meet with them for like, you know, weeks on end to like construct, you know, these ideas and like it's gonna be all cut and sew.
That's
my next giant I'm trying to tackle.
Is there anybody that you would want to work with when it comes to like women's wear, like a Lely May or?
Ooh, you know what? That's tough. I'm a huge fan of Jill Sander.
Okay.
I love Jill Sander's work. But as of now, I have yet to even like crack open that can of worms. So I feel like once I get there and I kind of start getting, you know, acclimated with everything, I feel like when I see what can be done, that's going to open my mind up to a whole nother realm. So like, I think I'll start finding the people once I kind of see what can be done.
Absolutely.
You know? Yeah,
absolutely. Very cool. As far as music goes, I know you said that you've written a lot. Is there any projects or anything that we can look forward to coming up?
Definitely. I have an EP. It's untitled.
Okay.
But I have so many songs that like, I don't want to like just pick a bunch of songs that I finished and put it together and say it's an EP. Like, I want this one project to actually like be like a story, kind of like how my capsules are. It's like this capsule tells this story. Like, I want my EP to literally just be like low-key short film, if it could be.
Yeah.
You know, so I want it to all be, like, within the same flavor, the same realm. So definitely have an EP coming, though.
Super dope. Yeah. Super dope. I'm really excited to see everything that comes in 2022 as far as Mercy goes, as far as your music goes. If there was one person that you could create with, and this is in any aspect, who would it be and what would you guys work on together?
Oh, Kanye.
Kanye.
100. I'm such a Kanye fan. It's insane.
Yeah. Did you check out the show with Drake? Did you stream 100%. It?
I was absolutely front and center. I was at home. Like, I watched it on. Yeah.
Me too. Like, it's here. Yeah. Like, he's doing all the old shit. If there's any concert that you were supposed to be at, it's that one.
Yeah. And I was at the crib. I'm not too crazy about big crowds. And I was just at home, like, where I could literally see everything. Like, I mean, being there is an experience, of course. Absolutely. And, you know, that's super dope to be a part of. But literally being able to see all the different camera angles and, like, the smoke and all these different aesthetics. Like, I prefer that over anything.
Absolutely. You know,
it's almost like watching a movie in a sense.
I was there and I was watching it and I was like, bro, to be on stage with him, that's just like
catching
going
everything.
Around with the camera. I'm like, what a job, bro.
Insane.
What a job.
Yeah, is for sure, man. That's, oh my God, that's a dream come true if I could work with him on anything.
On
clothing,
anything.
Make a beat, music, conversation, it don't really matter, man. I'm such a fan of him and have studied him, like, for a very long time. So that's the guy.
That's the
guy for sure.
Yep. Shout out to Kanye, man. He's really 100%. A pillar, I would say, for our generation.
Mm-hmm.
Taught us a lot, has his moments, you know, but who doesn't?
Right.
But at the end of the day, like, what he stands for and what he's given us is beyond.
Insane.
So I like to close out episodes with a quote. And I picked a painter, John Michael Basquiat.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm going to give you the quote and just kind of want you to, like, expand on it in your own words.
Yeah.
Or, like, let me know how you would explain that to somebody else in your own words, if that makes sense. So the quote, I start a picture and I finish it. I don't think about art while I work. I try to think about life. End quote.
Ooh, that's heavy.
Yeah.
That is heavy.
And he was dope.
He's, oh my, I love him. I have, like, pieces of his. I have books on him in my studio, pieces on my wall. He's inspired me in many ways. That quote is beautiful. And that's how it should be. That's what work is. It's like, if you don't finish, you know, say, like, if you're painting and, like, you know, you feel like, I need to do this to it. And, oh, let me go back and touch up this. And, you know, you'll never finish that piece, or you're not going to be able to advance and say that's a solidified piece.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny that you even picked this quote, because I started painting for the sake of me understanding, like, bro, this is a piece that's done.
Uh-huh.
Don't touch it. Leave it alone. That shit's done. Start a new project.
Right.
Complete that project. Finish it. Done. Go shelf it.
Uh-huh.
Like, because, like, I'm that person. I like to, like, let me go back. Like,
and tweak this.
Yeah, and it's like, man, that shit's done. And it's just helping me grow as a person. So that's wild that you even picked that quote, because,
hey, man,
that's awesome.
We right here with it.
Right.
No, that's really cool.
I love that.
Yeah, his work is incredible. I won't lie that it took me listening to, like, Jay-Z and just having, like, hearing it over and over and over again. I'm like, who is this Basquiat person? And then, like, going and actually doing my homework, I'm like, oh, he's badass, bro. And current, recent, you know, he's not here. I think he died in 88, I believe.
I believe so. I think he was, like, 27. He was 20. Yeah. He's part of the 27 Club.
Super young. But he was in the 80s, and, like, his work, you would, you know, think it was, like, a Picasso or some shit, but deeper.
Right.
Deeper and, you know, more tailored to, like, the Black community and stuff like that. Incredible work. And I was just like, yo, he's dope.
Oh, yeah. He was the first one to pioneer the whole abstract art and make it, like, and I mean, Andy Warhol, too. That's why they kind of collaborated and worked a lot together, too.
Mm-hmm.
But he was the first one to kind of, like, really, like, make it a statement, and has shaped so many artists that you see today that do lame, you know, sketches and scribble art. That's Basquiat. That wouldn't be a thing if it wasn't for Basquiat.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And going back to how you were saying, like, you started painting, I think that's really cool.
Thank you.
But you had mentioned about, with, like, your capsules, how you said, you know, there's things that you cut out and you never went back to it just to, for the sake of just moving forward and everything. So it seems like that's a continuous thing in all aspects of your art, where it's just like, okay, this is done. Mm-hmm. Next, onto right. the next thing. And I think it's important because, like how we were saying, it's like you can get caught up in just wanting to make something perfect. There's no such thing.
Exactly. And you'll be stuck forever trying mm-hmm. to perfect that. And it's never going to be that.
It's never going to be that. Awesome. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for pulling up and sitting down with me. If someone wanted to learn more about Mercy Clothing, mm-hmm. if they wanted to make a purchase, or maybe they were interested in your music and wanted to hear some stuff, where can they find you?
Instagram for sure. My personal Instagram is Badmondlo, BADMONDLO. For Mercy, it's Mercy Clo, MERCICLO. Mm-hmm. And our website, my website is in my bio. It's on the page's bio.
Perfect.
Everything's there.
Delon O'Shea on Apple Music.
Delon O'Shea on Apple Music, Spotify, all that good stuff. Yeah, awesome. Same thing.
Add them to your playlist.
Please
y'all.
Do.
Dope. Well, again, thank you so much for pulling up. This is a great conversation. A lot of gems. You're such a creative force and it just radiates out through you. So
I appreciate that so
much. Much success to you. Absolutely. Thank you for coming by. And thank you for listening, my amazing audience. More episodes of Pulling Up Face and Fears can be found where you listen to your favorite podcast. To keep in touch, check out upcoming guests, or for some daily motivation, follow Pulling Up Face and Fears on Instagram. Pulling Up Face and Fears, there's no G's in that. But thank you so much, and I will catch you next time.